Revelation 18. Would you please follow along in your Bible as I read, beginning with verse number 1. Notice what the scripture says. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her. When they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city. For in one hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. For no man buyeth their merchandise any more, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls, and fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet, all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat, and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in one hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy angels and you prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. And by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Let's bow for a moment of prayer and ask God to teach us this word. We are so thankful, Father, for the opportunity to glean wisdom today. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will direct us, guide our thoughts, and help us, Lord, to see what is in store for this earth and for this great city that is coming down one day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, on my day off, I took my kids and family over to Manhattan, and it was quite interesting. I don't get to go over there all the time, but when you drive around the city, you see all the billboards, and you see the big buildings, and you see the crowds, and we thought, we've never been in Macy's before, so we thought we would go into Macy's department store, the world's largest department store. We walked through Macy's, and it has, I don't know how many floors. What is it, 9 floors? Anybody know? It's at least 9 floors where all of those floors are filled with clothing, china, beds, couches, antiques. I mean, you name it, and it seems like Macy's got it. All kinds of fancy stuff. And as I was walking through that store, I was thinking, all of this glitter, all of this stuff is one day going to be burned up, God says. As a matter of fact, this city, along with the other cities in the world, are going to come crashing down one day. You see, the Bible teaches that one day Jesus Christ is going to return. When he returns, he's going to catch his people away, and we will forever be with the Lord. The scripture teaches that that will occur at the sixth seal. Whenever that will occur, when the sun is darkened, the moon turns blood red, then that will be the sign of his coming to fulfill what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. And the angels will gather together his elect from the four winds from heaven, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven, as Mark says. And we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But after this, God then pours out his judgment upon this earth. 7 trumpets will sound, and every time a trumpet sounds, something terrible will happen on this earth. After the trumpets have finished their sounding, then God will pour out his most intense fury upon this earth. 7 vials, or 7 bowls of judgment, will be poured out upon planet earth. And the Bible teaches in Revelation chapter 16 that when the 7th bowl is poured out, God is going to say, it is done. It's finished. And there were voices, verse 18, and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. The whole earth is going to shake. The entire globe is going to convulse. And the nations are going to come crumbling down. The cities are going to fall. And the Bible teaches there in verse 19, and the great city, was divided into three parts. So Jerusalem will be divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And then there will fall great hail upon this earth, each hailstone weighing from 80 to 100 pounds. God is going to destroy this earth. My friends, this is going to happen exactly the way God said it would. Man has always tried to build a Babel. Man has always tried to build a Babylon. Started back with Nimrod, who, according to Genesis chapter 11, built a city. And that city was called Babel. And they thought they would build a tower whose height would reach up to heaven, and that they would have a global unity where everybody will be one, for all the people spoke one language. But then you remember, God came down. I believe in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw that men were, what they were trying to do is to form a global unity. God says, if this happens, no evil which they intend to do would be withheld from them. Nothing they imagine could be stopped. So what God did is he confused the languages. And people started speaking in different languages, and God dispersed them through that judgment at the Tower of Babel. Well, throughout history, man has tried to build an empire. Throughout history, there has been an attempt by rulers and emperors to take over the world. Of course, the most famous example in the Word of God is that of Babylon, which you're very familiar with by now. If I could have Saj just plug that in. How Nebuchadnezzar sought to build an empire. And so God gave a revelation to the world through this man. When he dreamt about that image whose head was made of gold representing Babylon, and chest made of silver representing Medo-Persia, whose belly and thighs made of brass representing Greece, whose legs of iron would eventually represent Rome, and then the feet of iron mixed with clay. What God was saying is this, is that after Babylon would come another kingdom, and that kingdom, the Medo-Persian Empire, would take over. As the city of Babylon would fall, the scripture teaches that ancient Babylon fell into the hands of the Medo-Persians. And eventually, that kingdom was taken over by Alexander the Great, who also tried to build a a world empire around himself and around the Greek language and around the Greek culture. But after him came the Caesars of Rome, who ruled in the days of the Lord Jesus. And this fourth kingdom, which will have an existence until the time that Jesus returns, is one day going to be destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who in Daniel chapter 2 is described as a stone cut out without hands, because Jesus is not of human origin. He is the God of heaven. And in verse 44 of Daniel 2, he says, in the days of these kings, picturing the 10 toes on the feet, in the days of those kings, the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to set up his kingdom. And his kingdom will never be left to anybody else. Well, we saw that in Daniel 2. In Daniel 7, he talked about four creatures, one in particular being a beast with iron teeth and 10 horns. those 10 horns representing 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as of yet, but will in the future. You come to Revelation, and you find in chapter 13 the same imagery, and then in chapter 17 the very same imagery of a beast with 10 horns, which he describes as Mystery Babylon. And you remember in chapter 17, Revelation 17, the Bible says in verse 12, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." Scripture indicates that there's coming a day when the whole world is going to be united, and there will be 10 kings that will rule the world. It's interesting that in Rome, there was an organization that was a sister of the Council on Foreign Relations that decided that we're going to divide up the earth. And so the Club of Rome, which has been charged with the task of overseeing the regionalization and unification of the entire world, has divided the world into 10 political economic regions that they refer to as kingdoms. And it is interesting that America they label as kingdom number one because of its wealth. And then if you see Western Europe as being number two, and then you could see Japan as number three because of its wealth. And then you could see the numbers from there. But this is their plan to divide up the whole earth into 10 parts. This is not fiction. This is actually happening as I speak. And there's coming a day when the whole earth will be 10 kingdoms. And these 10 kings will rule all together in a unity for 1 hour. But then they will hand over their kingdom to the beast, to the Antichrist, who will then rule the entire world. What God is teaching us is that those 10 horns, similar to the 10 toes on that image, which Daniel saw Jesus come and smash, that these 10 kings are one day going to be destroyed by the Messiah. Look at what the Bible says, Revelation 17 and verse 12 once again. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but shall receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast," or unto the Antichrist. Verse 14. "These shall make war with the Lamb." What a vain attempt that is, to try to fight against Jesus Christ. "And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings." And so Jesus is coming back, and he's going to destroy the 10 kingdoms of this world, and Babylon will be no more. And this will occur to fulfill Revelation 19, where the Bible says in verse 17, "And I saw an angel stand in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast," the Antichrist, "and the kings of the earth," that's the 10 kings. Thank you, brother. "And their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. They still think they can destroy the Messiah. But verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that had worshipped his image, and these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnants were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Then Messiah takes over and rules. Jesus Christ is going to rule. But do you know, this world is an evil place where there's a lot of deception and a lot of lies. Satan has two ways in which he primarily deceives people. He tricks people through false religion. He blinds people from the truth through false religion. And then, if that doesn't work, he uses materialism. He uses money to trick people, to get them astray, away from God. If he can't succeed with a false religion, he'll try materialism. And in Revelation 17 and 18, we see the outcome of both false religion and materialism. In chapter 17 last week, we saw God's description of his destruction of Satan's religious system, this global system, which had its beginning back at Babel. And throughout history, this false religious system, which sat on the back of empire after empire after empire, is one day going to be destroyed. And the scripture teaches that this false religion, that this one world religious apostate system, is actually going to be destroyed by the 10 kings. It says in chapter 17, verse 16, and the 10 horns, which we know are 10 kings, which you saw on the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. At the midpoint of that final 7-year period, this false religious system is going to be destroyed by the 10 kings. And they are going to give all of their religious authority over to the beast, who will be exalted, as 2 Thessalonians 2 says, as God. He will claim to be God. Nobody will be worshipped or allowed to be worshipped except the beast. And so ancient mystery Babylon's religious ecumenical system is going to be destroyed. False religion destroyed, Revelation chapter 17. But ancient Babylon was not just an attempt at unifying the world's religions together, but it was also, it's also an attempt to join the whole world together in a political, economic unity. And in chapter 18, John now describes the destruction of commercial Babylon. Whereas God used 10 kings to destroy religious mystery Babylon, God will himself destroy commercial Babylon, and the kings will weep and mourn her destruction. It says in chapter 18 and verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her. They will cry and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. This is God's judgment now. God is going to destroy commercial Babylon. This false political economic system. And this will occur at the end of that 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. This will occur at the end of the time commonly called the tribulation period. Technically, it's the end of the day of the Lord's wrath. And this will occur at the seventh bowl. Babylon's going to be burnt up. And so in verses 1 through 3 of this chapter of chapter 18, and this is where we draw our attention now, God describes the announcement of the fall of Mystery Babylon, a city that is going to be burned. All the nations will fall and crumble, but there's one city in particular, a city that committed, as it were, a unity with the other nations of the earth around her. This city is going to come crumbling down. Notice what he says in verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. The earth was lighted with his glory. In contrast to the fading glory of Mystery Babylon, the glory of man is for a short time, but the glory of God as reflected through this glorious angel will continue on forever and ever. Verse 2, and he cried with a mighty, strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Great Babylon is coming down. The words great and the word fallen indicates the height from which Babylon will be thrown down. In the eyes of the world, this satanic system seemed to be impeccable. It seemed to be insurmountable, but God alone will be shown to be great in the end. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And this city, along with the cities around the world, are going to come crumbling down and burn in the day of the Lord's wrath. Now, I believe when he describes a city here, that it's a city, a literal city. It is called a great city. Chapter 18, verse 10, chapter 18, verse 18. This city is described as a literal city. She is a hub for commerce, a hub for trade, international trade. Verse 11 speaks about how the merchants of the earth are going to cry when this city comes down. Verse 15 of this chapter again talks about how merchants made a lot of money off of this city. It is a hub for commercial trade. This city also involves a list of merchandise which points to an actual city. The ships and sailors will be able to stand afar off and see the burning of this city. And this city is described as a place of business and industry, but there's coming a day when it'll be no more. Now, there's some people who believe that ancient Babylon over there in the Middle East will one day be rebuilt. Through the oil wealth, that Babylon will be destroyed, will be built, become great, and then be destroyed. Old Testament Babylon, they say, would be a prime location for a rebuilt city. The city located just north of the Persian Gulf, situated in the midst of the main source of the world's oil supply, has everything in favor of rapid growth. It holds a unique position on the face of the earth, and many believe it is a most suitable position in which a world empire such as the Antichrist could choose for his seat of government, because a land around the site is immensely fertile, and with proper irrigation and cultivation, it would be capable of supporting a high population And so some say ancient Babylon over there in the Persian Gulf area will be rebuilt and then God will destroy it. If this was to be fulfilled in recent years, and I do believe this is going to happen, and I do believe the Lord's coming is soon, and I do believe this is going to happen perhaps even in my lifetime. If that was the case, no other city on the earth would qualify to fit the description of chapter 18 in this great city that had global influence. There would be no other city which is as great today in the year 2000 as New York City. It is possible, although I'm not dogmatic on this point, that he could be describing here, along with all the nations of the earth that are going to come crumbling down, he could be drawing attention to one city in particular that had global influence and was used to join the nations of the earth together, Babylon. It could be New York. There are several New World Order globalist organizations having their headquarters in guess what city? New York. And their primary goal is global unity. Can you think of any? As I think of Manhattan, as I think of our city, the first major organization in New York City that was founded for the purpose of forming a global unity was the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR. This organization includes the top leaders in government, business, education, labor, the military, the media, and banking. It is the most powerful clique of elitist groups that have come together, and they've got one common objective. This is their goal: to bring about the surrender of the sovereignty and the national independence of the United States. And this is a quote by the former CFR member, Rear Admiral Chester Ward, cited by Gary Ka in a book you ought to read called En Route to Global Occupation, page 32. He says that they have one goal, and that's to surrender the sovereignty of America and form a global unity. The CFR wants to bring about a world banking monopoly. The CFR wants to bring about a new international order, which may be responsible to world aspirations for peace and for social and economic change. And on February 17th, way back in 1950, CFR member James Warburg testified before the Senate on Foreign Relations Committee. He said, quote, "We shall have world government whether or not you like it, by conquest or by consent," end of quote. Council on Foreign Relations, right in our city, one objective: unite the world. You've mentioned the United Nations, and you're correct. This modern-day Tower of Babel, which was founded in 1945 in New York City, was situated on land that was graciously donated by John D. Rockefeller Jr., and it was American soil, which he owned and then gave it over to an international organization, which, by the way, has its own police force. It's his own property. It's not American property. He gave it away, the UN, for the purpose of the New World Order. And so the UN is totally devoted to the concept of achieving a new system of world government. The Council on Foreign Relations, the UN, and then there's the Trilateral Commission, also headquartered in our city. An organization dedicated to the New World Order. It's composed of leaders from the world's three economic superpowers. What are they? North America, which was listed as number one on that map I showed you. Western Europe and Japan. Hence the term trilateral. Most of our governmental leaders have been part of the Trilateral Commission, including former President George Bush. Now, I'm not sure if his son is on that or not, but they're all part of this. And you know, it's another thing interesting, and I'm not going to get into it today, but there is one religious organization that has a lot of world leaders part of it, whose goal and objective is to forge a new world order, and you'd be surprised at the big shots who are part of it and don't even know many of them what they're involved in until perhaps they get up in higher ranks and higher degrees, and that is the Masonic Lodge. But New York City is a modern day Tower of Babel. New York City is most obviously the financial capital of the world, with the power of Wall Street and the New York Stock Exchange. And this city is described for its wealth in chapter 18 of Revelation. New York City is the major trading city in the world, with the World Trade Towers looming over southern Manhattan. And this chapter describes a city noted for its trade with other nations. New York City fits the description of a city lavished with wealth, both in money and material goods, and he describes that in verse 16. New York City is a city, when destroyed by God, can be seen from the ocean waters, as Revelation 18, verses 17 and following describe. And there are not many cities so great that can be seen burning from ocean waters, but this city can. What I am saying is that New York could be the great city that God is describing that's going to join herself with other nations forming this new world order, this Babylon unity, and God is going to destroy it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he does, this city, Babylon the Great, is going to become the habitation of devils. It's going to be a dwelling place, a prison house for demons and every unclean spirit. Babylon, along with Satan and his cohorts, will sink down together into hell to fulfill Isaiah 14, verses 4 to 23. It says in verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her." See, there's a unity, there's a oneness. "And the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." And so the fact that the world's rulers had part in Babylon's material goods is indicative of the common market that will exist in the last days. And you know, my friends, we see it happening today. There is one city that has its tentacles joining the nations of the earth, and we live in it. God's going to destroy Mystery Babylon. In verse 4, God gives us a warning to flee from this materialistic Babylon. He says in verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues.'" God's command is always come out from the world system and be different. Yes, we live here and we are in the world, but we are not of the world. God doesn't want any Christian to imitate the godless society in which we live. We're to be distinct. We're to be set apart. The scripture says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." He says in 1 John 2, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And there's coming a day when God says, you better get out of the world, as it were. And he gives two reasons why God's people should come out. First, those who don't come out will share in the guilt. He says that you be not partakers, which means co-sharers, joint participants in her sins. And even though you may not be directly involved in corruption, if you are associated with it, God holds you accountable. Those who don't come out will share the penalty. He says that you receive not of her plagues. And so God's appeal will come in the future. I'm not saying move out of New York, but there's coming a time when God's saying you better leave whatever city he's referring to here, better get out. Because God's judging it. God's appeal to flee out of Babylon is a reminder of God's judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah and how Lot had to flee from that city before God destroyed it. Back in Genesis 19, he gives reasons why he's going to judge materialistic Babylon. In verse 5, he says, "For her sins have reached unto heaven. And God hath remembered her iniquities." God doesn't forget anything. God knows every wicked thing that people do. He knows all about sin, and everyone's sin comes up before him. And the Bible says in verse 6, "Reward her, even as she has rewarded you, double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, filled her to the double." The angel calls on God to give back to her as she gave to others. And this, there is a principle in Scripture that whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Here, this mystery Babylon is going to reap. He says, give double unto her. Go a step above, causing her to reap to the same extent that she showed, only two times more. Spare the mercy and unload a double whammy on this pagan system and city. Verse 7. "For how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." What is her problem? What is the problem of Babylon according to these verses? One word. It was a problem that Nebuchadnezzar had in ancient Babylon. What is it? It is pride. She says, "I've got it all. I am rich. I've got everything." And the Bible here says in verse 7, she saith in her heart, and that's where pride stems from. It stems from the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 21 and 22, that out of the heart proceed pride. She boasts of her position. She says, "I sit as queen. I am high, I am lofty, I am above all." Pride boasts of position. Look at how high and mighty I am. Pride boasts of provision. She says, "I am no widow." Now a widow is somebody who has no husband. She's all alone. But this harlot system, which had committed fornication with all of the nations of the earth, thought, "I will never be abandoned by my men. I will never lose my lovers. I will never be forsaken by those who provide for me. I am no widow." And she's proud of the provision she has. And she boasts of her preservation. "I shall see not sorrow." She boasts of protection. And it is interesting how pride gives one a false sense of security. Pride gives us a false sense of security for the future. She says, "Nothing will ever change for me. Everything will continue." And then God is going to come and destroy this city. Jesus Christ is going to destroy it. And just like Old Testament Babylon was proud and was judged for it, so will eschatological Babylon be proud and will be judged for her pride. Jeremiah 50. Let me read this to you. A commentary on the judgment of Babylon. In Jeremiah chapter 50, God says this in verse 29. Call together the archers against Babylon, and all ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about, let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done, do unto her, for she hath been proud. Against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts. For thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities. Who will? God will. And it shall devour all round about him. By the way, ancient Babylon never was destroyed this way. The people of ancient Babylon were not destroyed. The city was not burned. It was taken over by the Medes and the Persians. So he's not talking about that ancient Babylon here in Jeremiah. He's talking about the same thing that Revelation 18 is talking about. That proud city. God says, I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast and refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. That's Jesus Christ. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall truly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Sword is upon the Chaldean, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men, and so on. God's going to destroy them, the city, this proud city. My friends, you need to beware of pride in your life. Pride makes us think we're it. We're self-sufficient. I've got it all. I don't need anything. The Bible says God will destroy the house of the proud. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And there is coming a day when this city is going to boast of all she has and God is going to judge her. And it's all going to take place in one day. It says in verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. In one day, all God needs is one day. It's not going to be some long, drawn-out process, but when Babylon falls, it's going to be in one day, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Material Babylon will be stripped of those things she boasted in. She will be stripped of life, happiness, and food. And God will judge her. She said there in verse 7, she hath glorified herself and she lived deliciously. But she's going to face death. Death will correspond to, I am no widow. Bible says here in verse 8, death will hit. Death. She said, I am no widow. She's going to die herself. And then he says in verse 8, mourning. That corresponds to her saying, I will see no sorrow, but she will mourn. And famine, that corresponds to how she lived deliciously. She had everything, but she's going to experience famine. And she shall be burned with fire. When God judged this earth the first time, he judged it by water, the flood of Noah. But when he judges the second time, it'll be by fire. And you know how God's going to do it? He's going to shake this earth. He's going to cause an earthquake to hit this planet where the nations are going to fall. And when they fall, they're going to burn. And the smoke is going to ascend. As a matter of fact, the smoke of this city, Babylon, God's going to allow to burn for a long time as a reminder. 2 Peter 3 talks about this burning that's going to take place. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. What's in store for this world should cause us to not stockpile treasure here. Our present lifestyles ought to be different. He said you ought to have a holy conversation. Our morals ought to be different. We ought to have a godliness as opposed to worldliness. Our plans for the future ought to be different. We ought to plan with eternity in mind and not stockpile treasure upon this planet. Because my friends, when it comes to an end, there's going to be crying. There's going to be anguish. Emotional torment is caused by lost wealth in this world. How many times people have gone to Atlantic City or this Foxwoods casino? And they go to these places and they bring in a lot of money and they leave poor and crying. My brother, who's a limo driver, drives these people to these places, and he says when he leaves how they cry in his car. I lost it all. There's coming a day when this Babylon, this great city, is going to be destroyed by God, and the misery and suffering and agony and grief and heartache and regret and torment is going to be great when they lose their wealth. Verse 9 talks about them bewailing, crying with tears. They're lamenting. They're beating and smiting themselves in an expression of sorrow. They're mourning in verse 11 as one mourns for the dead, weeping and wailing, crying, screaming, casting dust, a sign of mourning. Verse 19, my friends, we should not trust in uncertain riches. We should trust in the living God. Yes, this is going to take place. There's going to be a new world order. There's going to be global unity. All of this is going to happen, but don't trust any of this lie of the devil. Satan wants to do it. He wants to have his new world order, and eventually it's going to come to pass. He'll have his Babel, but it's coming down. Even on your dollar bill. I don't know if you're even aware of this, but right on your dollar bill, there's a picture on the back of a pyramid. And that triangular pyramid is a New Age symbol, by the way. It is a New Age symbol, and it's a Masonic symbol
of a pyramid which became the Great Seal of America in 1782, but it wasn't printed on our money until the days of Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was a New World Order man, who brought socialism into America, by the way. But on this dollar bill, underneath it says, Novus Ordo Seclorum. Any Latin scholars here? What does it say on the back of your dollar bill? I'll tell you what it says. It says, the new order of the ages. Sorry for my type error. Or the new world order. It says right on the bottom of your dollars, the new world order. This mystery of iniquity has been in the works for many years. And then there's the eye at the top, the pinnacle of that pyramid, which is the all-seeing eye of Osiris or Baal, which is the false god of Babel. And many believe that that's the eye of the future beast, who hasn't yet been revealed in his entirety, but one day will come and be destroyed by the return of the Messiah. And so this world's going to be united. And it's all going to come together. And there's going to be international trade. But there's coming a day when it's going to crash and burn. And when it does, all of Babylon's materialistic splendor will vanish violently. He speaks in verses 9 and 10 about the violent destruction. How the kings of the earth are going to cry. And these who have committed fornication with this city, Babylon, are going to cry because of the loss of its greatness. It's going to come down violently. Verses 11 to 14 describe how Babylon will vanish totally. It'll totally be destroyed. Those who bought from Babylon and resold items elsewhere around the world, which are the merchants, those who had merchandise or cargo, those goods which were loaded on ships and exported, all of this is going to come to an end. Everything from gold, in verse 12, to the souls of men at the end of verse 13, which were acquisitions of end time Babylon, everything from the most precious metal to the most precious of God's creation, people who were used as slaves are going to be come to an end. This city will have no more of that. The spectrum of goods that are stripped from the lustful clutches of materialistic Babylon are going to be taken away in verses 12 to 13. Ornamental materials like gold, silver, pearl, jewelry, gone. Clothing materials, fine linen, silk, scarlet, clothing materials, gone. Building materials, wood, brass, iron, and marble, gone. Cosmetic materials, cinnamon, odors, ointments, and frankincense are gone. Food elements, wine, oil, flour, wheat, beasts, and sheep, gone. Transportation, horses and chariots, gone. Labor, slaves and souls of men, departed from thee, he says. Those dainty, expensive things which appeal to the palate, those goodly things which shine and appeal to the eye, will be forever gone. Babylon's materialistic splendor will vanish quickly. In 1 hour, it'll come to nothing. And it will vanish justly. In verse 20, the Bible says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." Look at verse 23. He says, "The light of the candle will shine no more at all in thee, And he says, the voice of the bridegroom and bride will be heard no more at all in thee. Why? For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. And by thy sorceries were all the nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and all that were slain upon the earth. And so God will judge this earth and this mystery Babylon justly because of how she treated God's people. She is now reaping for what she has sown. And when it vanishes, it'll vanish permanently. No more at all, it keeps saying in verses 22 and 23. No more entertainment. No more harpers, musicians, pipers, and trumpeters. No more employment. No more craftsmen or millstone. No more nightlife. The light of the candle, which depicts nightlife, gone. No more happiness. The voice of bridegroom and bride, gone. Babylon's wealth and prosperity will be destroyed, never to be replaced. And let me say, my friend, if you die without Jesus Christ, you'll lose everything as well. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Bible says, do not trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God. Where is your trust? Is it in God or is it in the world? This world, this Babylon system is going to burn. Where's your trust? In your bank account? Where's your confidence in the things you own, the job you have? You better put your trust in the living God. And not trust uncertain riches, because they take wings and fly away. And God showed us here how this city is going to burn. I would like everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. And I want to make an appeal to you to trust in the living God. Don't trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust your material wealth. Trust in the living God. Because what will you profit? Even if you gained the whole world and lost your soul and went to hell, what would you gain? Trust in the living God. And that has application to those who are unsaved. Trust in the living God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. This has application to the Christian. Don't rely on the world. Don't trust the world. Trust the Lord. He alone is trustworthy. Thank you, dear Father, for showing us out of the scripture what is yet to occur on this earth. Help us to hold loosely the things of this earth and to not take pride and boast in the works of our hands, but may we trust you. Thank you, dear God, for this reminder today of your return and of your judgment of this earth and of this city. Help us to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven and not on this earth. Help us to seek those things which are above and not to stockpile treasure upon this earth. May we live with eternity in view. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.